This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I run Cypher, an accountancy firm in Oxford, and I am joined on the podcast, as always, by the marvellous Alan Clark from Exponential Coaching. Alan, how are you doing, sir? How's April treating you?
April is treating me well. I've even had a holiday in Anglesey on a beach and back
in the life.
I tell you, it was a splendid beach. It was. It had sand dunes and everything. So I even ran up a couple Rocky style, Matt. So there you go.
Wow. With the theme tune playing in your head.
It was playing in my head. Nobody else's head, but it was playing in my head. And that's all that matters.
Good. And we're here today. This is part two of our kind of series on growing businesses. And today, which bit of it are we tackling today, just to make sure I've got my head on straight?
So part one, which was last episode, was leveling up. And this one is about the pressures of growth.
Oh, I'm all over this. So when it starts creaking around the edges, right? That's when you know that you need to level up. But okay. And do you think a lot of businesses get stuck in this kind of area where the pressure, let me go back a step. So as we grow as a business, as you grow, the systems that you've set up, kind of they run their course, right? And if you go from $500,000 to $1 million, you need to level up those systems. That's what we talked about at length in the last episode. And if you don't level up those systems in time, then what happens is the pressure builds in various areas in the business and it causes stress and it causes things to break, right? So do you experience this a lot when you're coaching your clients, that they get stuck in this zone? So they don't level up, and then the pressure becomes the norm, and then that's how the business ends up living its life, constantly creaking, constantly under pressure because they've not managed to level up. Is that a scenario you see often?
Yeah, you do see that. You do see that. Now, the great news is that isn't a fixed state, you know, and when you get into a conversation and you understand what is going on and why it feels so difficult, then quite quickly you can change that, you can come through that phase. But definitely that pressured phase, that horribleness, that stuckness is definitely a thing, and a quite a common thing. But as I said, the great news is it's not a fixed condition. One can cure oneself.
Excellent. Well, that's a good starting point. So everything we talk about now, let's step back and know that there is a fix somewhere for it. So I've been thinking a lot about this podcast over the last few weeks, because I my business, right, we've had periods of really intense growth where it starts to creak around the edge, and we act for a lot of business owners that are in that same position as well. So we see this a lot, and it's often whilst the businesses are very different that we're talking to, and the models are different, the way this kind of creaking pressure of growth manifests is similar. It comes in the same things in every business. So I thought maybe what we could do is talk about a couple that I've got. I'm sure you've got some as well, Alan. Sort of areas where you can identify kind of an early warning system that if this starts happening, then we know that the pressure's growing and that we're going to start creaking, and therefore we can put the fix in before it blows up. And one of the ones that's fairly obvious, right, when we're talking about this pressure, is the pressure on the workload of your team. So the workload pressure, right? Certainly in service-based businesses and less so in kind of products, but in anything that's service, but delivering services, as you grow, the workload, every new customer, every new job creates more work, and that is all being delivered by humans, and those humans then reach capacity. Most employees then, if you've got the right team, will go over and above, and that's sustainable for a period, right? Everyone, every business is busy at points. If it's, you know, one of my team came in this morning, she didn't finish till 12:45 last night, and she was starting again at 7 this morning, and it's a very short term. I can see you're wincing at me. That's a 2-day thing because of a situation with a client, and we'll make sure she takes time off next week to recover. That's not such, that can't be 3 out of 4 weeks a month, right? You're going to burn people out. So that's the first pressure point, right? Are our team doing more hours? Are they either doing more hours and being pressured that way, or are they cutting corners to deliver more work for the same amount of hours, which is possibly even more dangerous? That's our first pressure point, right? Let's talk about that. So do you see that a lot? It's not just in my, I'm not in my head, right? That is a thing. It's workload pressure. What can we do to alleviate that? There you go, $1 million question. Put you on the spot. Fix that problem.
It's brilliant. That workload pressure, that pressure is across most industries as well. When the workload hits a point, you know, it's in retail, it's in healthcare, it's in accountancy businesses, you know, it's to do with workloads and workloads becoming too much for the human resource to work it through. So yeah, I see it a lot. What can you do about it? Usually two things. Usually a recruitment situation, 100%. Or it's to do with what you said beautifully last time, was up-leveling from version 1.0 systems to 2.0 systems, looking at the operating platform, looking at the efficiencies in the business. Are there things that we are doing that are grossly inefficient that can be replaced and it can bring that workload down? I'm thinking Xero and all that wizardry that goes there versus Excel spreadsheets. So these are the things that we can do. So people, i.e. more of systems, better, usually alleviates that particular pressure.
I've got a third one. Brilliant. Is, and we talked about this before, but it's eliminating vampire clients. So if you're not busy, if you're working at 80% capacity, then you can afford to have less than grade A clients in your business, right? You can deal with Joe, even though he's a bit difficult, you can deal with Joe because he'll pay you some money and we've got capacity. Once you're at 95% capacity, then the effect of all of these grade D and below clients in your business is kind of multiplied, isn't it? Because you're already under pressure, and then you have them ringing up just when you don't want them to with a nonsense job that they're not going to pay you for, but they feel like you're obliged to deal with it, and suddenly they're adding in the stress. And that's the other route that we advise a lot is, once you get capacity, yes, we need to recruit, and yes, we need to upgrade our systems. 100% we need to do that. That's the leveling up point. We definitely need to look at who we're working for and what we're doing for them, and eliminate that scope creep thing that we've also talked about at length on the podcast. Brilliant. Well, I feel like we're off and running already, right? So the next manifestation, unless you've got more points on this people one, I've got.
I don't know where you're going on point two, right? But what is a bit, just when you don't need it, this can happen, and it's more likely to happen when you're starting to be pressurized. And the people point of view is, of course, absence. And absence can be absolutely horrendous for especially small businesses, actually, when you've suddenly, you are creaking, and because you're creaking, people are stressed, and then suddenly one goes off sick, and then two goes off sick, and then that's when the thing can just turn into an absolute mess. So yeah, it's a really serious thing, that pressure point, and it can turn horrible.
Absolutely. I hadn't considered that, but you're 100% right. Right, people will fall over if they're working at 120% capacity consistently. Then, for all the will in the world, they might love their job, but they'll fall over. And again, that then leads to its own things. Who's covering that work? Add more workload onto everyone. It makes the problem worse. Suddenly it can all fall over really quickly. So definitely, definitely needs to be factored in, doesn't it, is managing your team's workload. Because again, and we should do a podcast on working with really highly motivated teams that care about your business, because that sounds like that should be the easy win, right? They've got to be the best people. But mm-hmm. You know what? Those people typically don't say no. They will continue to take on work and take on work, and because they enjoy what they do and they love their clients and all their customers or whatever the projects they're doing, and they don't say no, and they're their own worst enemies, and they burn themselves out without you knowing that that's what they're doing. I remember having a conversation with an old employee years and years and years ago about timesheets, right? And I hate timesheets. Genuinely do not think they have a place in most businesses. But this guy used to put his hours on his timesheet, and then he would sort of make a joke about, well, that's only sort of half what I do. I just took enough to get the timesheet done. And I was like, what do you mean? So I do, you know, 4 hours a day that I don't put on my timesheet. I said, well, if you, there's two elements. We're going off topic, but this is the kind of the situation with these sort of people. He did 4 hours extra a day that he didn't put on his timesheet. So nobody knew he was doing it. So he didn't get paid for it. It's impacting on his, so you know, his well-being and his social life and everything else. And it's also, if those jobs take 4 hours extra a day to do, whoever takes over from him or does that job next year has got a target they cannot possibly hit, because he's not put, you know, he's done it in 10 hours on paper and spent 40 hours on it. So you that managing people and understanding that just because they're saying it's fine and yeah, it's okay and they can do it, people are their own worst enemies, and you need to be able to recognize the issues and step in. So
I know you're dying to get to the point too, but again, just this podcast is about growth, isn't it? So, you know, that whole pressure, absence thing is a growth killer. It is an absolute growth killer.
Absolutely.
And if the absence goes on and the business cannot replace that absence or cannot recruit into that absence, that's the growth gone. So yeah, we're dealing with the big things today, aren't we? But that can be a growth killer. Absolutely, right there, right then, which is a real shame because the business has just got into growth.
Right, we need to crack on because I've got 4 points I wanted to go over, and we've done 12 minutes on one. So number two, easy warning sign that your business is kind of at capacity or growing too fast, or you know, is in danger of either of those, is standard. The quality of the work that's being produced. It comes back to that people being over capacity, but you can start to get those niggly feedback from clients and customers that, you know, oh, you're hard to get hold of these days, or, you know, just, you know, something misses a deadline that never normally happens, or the quality of the product is just not quite where it was. And that comes down to all the will in the world. If you're trying to fit 5 hours of work in 4 hours in the day, something's got to give somewhere. So what are your thoughts around that? Because you're all about delivering these client astonishment models.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
How do we tweak that?
Again, it's a serious one. That the minute that quality starts to go, you've got your reputation built up on it, the referrals, testimonials, people shouting from the rooftops, etc., sort of stops. I think, you know, what I would say is, and you know, you might be an owner is right in amongst this, it's growing, you're very stressed yourself, might not see it. I think that's a classic case for me of just creating a bit of space to critique it the way it actually is and go, right, okay, our quality has dropped. What are we going to do about it? Now, there's different solutions then based on what quality has dropped. But get all over it, because, you know, again, the irony, just like the first one, is you've got this great reputation and suddenly it's starting to go and people don't come back. And it's all because you have outstripped your resource at some point, be it human or system or whatever. So, yeah, early warning sign, but give yourself the space. If you've got management reports, look at them. You know, if you've got dashboards, look at them. Give yourself some time to look at what the data is saying or what your eyes are seeing, and use it. Don't be. And some people are scared of that. Actually, they don't want to look at the truth. It's painful sometimes, isn't it? So, you know, be courageous. It's your business. Be courageous. Stay on what is actually happening and course correct.
We had that. We had a client probably 18 months ago. No, just before COVID, that was having a bit of a torrid time. They're doing fine now. But back then, they're having a torrid time. And I send them monthly accounts with a video talking them through their numbers. And they weren't great. And they were making a loss month on month. And after the fourth month, I had a conversation with the client about something else. And he said, oh, you do know I don't look at any of those. I've stopped looking at the videos you send me because I know it's going to be bad news and I don't want to know. And I've stopped opening the post. I've stopped anything from HMRC now. I don't open. Just leave in the drawer. It's people don't like, you know, but it is on you as the business owner to be big enough and brave enough to do that. And, you know, it's not terminal. We've talked about horror stories on our podcast a lot. It's not a terminal issue, but you've got to get out in front of it. And I think the other danger with businesses that are growing super fast is you stop caring about every customer quite as much as you did at the start. So the service level slips, and then instead of fighting tooth and nail to keep that customer, because they're now one of 40 customers instead of one of 20, it's like, well, we can afford, if they go, they go, and we can afford to carry on with, you know, we'll get another customer next month. And that mentality, that's a fundamental shift. If you go back 2 years when you only had one of 20, you would never have thought about that, like your clients like that. Mm-hmm. But that's the risk, because there's so many and you're earning money now and life's, you know, the financial side of it's normally good at this point. You take them for granted and you don't fight for the relationship that you would have done otherwise. So, okay. Yeah. Excellent. We're going to take a different.
So really, and that's
okay. Sorry,
I was just going to say, I know you've got another two here, but again, I think that's a brilliant point they just said there about that sort of mindset that says I can afford to lose a customer, and getting a wee bit lethargic around being at your best, you know, and yet being at your best got you into this space, and yet you're falling for that deception of one doesn't matter, two doesn't matter, you know, and the whole quality starts to just get a bit softer. So I think that's a brilliant point as well there, Matt.
And that will take you a long way from your core principle that you'd have set up at, because you don't set up a business like that, do you, that we don't care about our customers? Nobody does that. But that's how it can be, because it's all pressure. That's an easy way your brain is designed to keep you safe. And actually, if this customer's moaning, they're moaning because they want to be back where they were, where you were looking after them and everything was rosy and they were your number one customer. And the easy defense mechanism there is, well, you know, balls to you, off you go and find someone else to do it, and we'll move on to the next customer. That's not where you would have been at the start, and it probably won't be where you are in 4 months' time once you're out of this pressure zone, and it's understanding it for what it is. Okay, right. Next one, I think you're going to enjoy this one. So the next, I think, symptom of kind of knowing it's you're growing at too, not too fast, but you're growing fast and there's pressure and it starts to creak, is that typically you've got a mix of employees now in your business. You've got ones that were there with you on day one and feel like they're the old school and that they're part of it and they're founders just alongside you. And you've got new guys that have come in the last 6 months, say, who have got new ideas and new ways of doing things, and keeping that original cohort of people on the plan and feeling like they're still as big a part of it as they were when it was just, you know, five of you, where there's now 50 of you. That's a massive, that's the big issue. As you grow down that path, everyone gets, every new employee takes the original ones a further step away from where they were, right? How do we deal with that?
That's a great question. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? Alan is now very much thinking on his feet with that one.
Sorry, I do realise the podcast has been me firing questions.
You're all right. No, this is great. This is good for me. You know, you're in this space of engagement, aren't you? There's a few things in there. There's the quality of the colleague engagement in there, the structure of the people, are the original ones in leadership positions? Are there engagement mechanisms in place so that their voice is heard? Are they feeling part of the team? Do they understand why the new people are coming in and the growth and that everyone is benefiting? Is there an employee share scheme in? Is there a bonus scheme in there? Is the communication as good as it can be? Is everyone winning together? You know, if you get that sort of stuff going, I think you've got less of an issue. When that stuff's not there, then yeah, it can, I suspect, become quite quickly them and us and just a bit horrible. and people becoming disillusioned, leaving.
That winning together, I love that phrase. Not really heard it very much, but actually, that's the definition of a small, you know, at the start, early days, employees 1 to 4, 1 to 5, that's a team, right? You are winning together. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what everyone else is doing and what everyone's role is, and everyone's doing a bit of everything. And you are the definition of winning together. And mm-hmm. the more people you bring in, the more established the business comes, the older it gets, the more difficult it is to have this concept of winning together, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. if you sit and step back about that, that's a massive point. It's all emotions. And we've talked before, your business is like your baby, right? If you own a business, when you have a baby, you know, people that have had a baby before, people have had children, they get it, right? They give you, everyone wants to give you their 2 pennies worth of advice when you're pregnant. And the ones that have never had kids don't really have a clue because they've never had kids. And it's very similar. All your friends that have had businesses and have owned their own business have got 2 pennies worth of advice to give you. And those that haven't run a business haven't got a clue, right? I think it's very similar. If you've got these founding team members, they feel like it's their business, mm-hmm. whether it is or not.
Yeah.
That's what you do, and that's a massive positive in one way because you've got all these people that care about what you're doing. But it can be a real, not millstone around your neck, but it can be an issue if you then take it away from them without realizing, because you've hired in. You know, we've had lots of businesses that have hired in senior people because that was the next step. And you wonder how many of the original team are now massively disgruntled because of that. I don't know. But there's got to be a situation.
Yeah. And that's why actually on that particular point, you know, there's a definite two sort of pools going on there. There are companies that do that. They go outside for the best talent they can and bring it in. And there are other companies that pretty much will promote from within, you know. Now, both have got risks and both have got benefits. And ultimately, the culture and the leadership in the organization is the top, because they will ensure that both scenarios work out for the best. But you're absolutely right. If it's you and I that have started the company and we're basically sharing everything together, and then suddenly a year down the line there's 6 and you're now not even saying hello to me, never mind sharing your darkest fears, then you know you can see how I might be feeling differently about the whole thing than I was 12 months earlier. So it's a huge point you raise.
You say that you should see that this employee is now fed up and upset and not feeling in the loop. But in this scenario, our business is, you know, 5 times bigger than what it was. And actually, the business owner is as stressed and pressured as everybody else and running from one thing to another. And he or she may not notice, because you assume everything's fine, right? That's the danger. Us as humans, you typically don't go, you know, you take people on face value, don't you? And everyone says, yeah, I'm fine, I'm happy. Then you crack on and you deal with the actual issues and not this one that's kind of bubbling away. But okay, so let's just have a quick recap. We're 24 minutes in. So what have we talked about so far? We've talked about capacity issue.
Yep.
And how recruiting at the right time, leveling up systems at the right time is key. We've talked about quality mm-hmm. and that being a pressure point, and because you've got capacity issues, you then end up with quality of work issues. And we've talked about how to alleviate some of those. Now, we've talked about the employee disengagement. Would you say
disengagement? That's I think that disengagement, alienation. Disengagement is a good one. I was engaged, I'm now not. Not engagement, disengagement, absolutely.
Excellent. And then the final one that kind of comes up time and time again in my experience, and there will be more issues than this one, is the financial impact of super high growth, because it's fairly typical for businesses that are growing rapidly to go from not much profit to lots of profit and really positive cash flow, and then swing back round to not much profit a negative cash flow, because you're building up, you know, if the way of alleviating most of the issues we've just talked about are more people, pay rises and senior roles for the original people, share, you know, offering shares, so you take less out as the business owner because you're giving it to the team. All of these things impact in to a business now that's got a much higher cost base because it's ready for that next level. But it has a period where the business owner's sitting there looking at all this work that's happening and all these things that are happening and everyone telling them how wonderful they're doing and looking at a P&L. I have this all the time, looking at me saying, well, why am I not making any money? I was better off when it was just me and John and now there's 12 of us and I'm not making any money. Or, my goodness, look, this has happened and I've run out of cash and how can I get a loan? And why am I still getting a loan at 5 years in when, you know, we've been brilliant for 2 years? What's happened? That's all normal for this growth stage. And it always comes along at the worst time, this kind of profit slash cash flow pinch. But it is perfectly normal. Now, I speak about that all the time because of what I do. Do you have these? Do you find these? Have you got clients that are in this curve and that are hitting that kind of pinch, as we call it?
Yeah, I do. I don't have the financial expertise that you do there. And I think you've really articulated that very, very well. But absolutely. And I think this element of business ownership stroke entrepreneurship calls for courage. You know, this is a courageous act to be able to look at a cash flow that's going pretty low and that, but you've got confidence in your plan and you keep on going regardless. You might even go and borrow that money and invest that. You're not entirely sure that you'll where your next level of customers are coming from, but you go on regardless. And that's not stupidity, because there's a heck of a lot of thinking there, but that's courageous. And I think all entrepreneurs need to give themselves a round of applause there, because they're all doing that. And just know that this is where the characteristics of courage really, really comes in. And don't be isolated here. And when I was saying here, one can always heal oneself, and going back maybe 10, 15 minutes when we talked about it, it's also courageous to look at the MI that's maybe not very pretty, but you need to diagnose, you need to understand where the pain is for you to heal yourself. And this is the same courage, just in a different space. It's going, right, okay, right, I go forward. I don't want it just to be me and John. I do want 20 people, but I understand that, you know, financially, it doesn't look very clever at the moment, but I need to keep going. Because the growth then changes the game.
Got to stay the course, right?
Uh-huh.
We talk about that a lot. Okay, well, look, I've got one. I think we've got time for my final point. However, do you have any that you want? I feel like I've dominated this podcast.
No, one, it's an obvious one, but I see it all the time. And actually, I'm seeing it more and more. It's just people get really exhausted, really tired, particularly business owners. You know, I've seen some really knackered, tired, exhausted business owners, and they keep going. But there's that to me, that's something we all need to do our very best to protect ourselves from, that extreme exhaustion. And you know it, you'll have seen it as well. You know, people are absolutely shattered when they're in this growth space. And they feel that there's just nothing else to give, and somehow they keep going. But that's a big warning sign for me, because we can only go so far, and then you will fall over, and sometimes might not get back up. You know, so yeah, that's the one. Just tiredness, but that's extreme tiredness is a danger sign for me.
It's close to depression, but you know what? Yeah. That's really quite scary, because my last point was. The sign I look for is the business owner starts, they go away from that CEO role and go back to helping everyone and fighting all the fires and taking all the pressure onto themselves and taking stuff off the senior team and just thinking they're helping and causing themselves. When they, you know, I'm guilty of this as anyone, but I take jobs off and I think I've helped someone and I've put us back 2 months because I don't know the systems anymore and, you know, everyone has to fix what I do and that's the life of a business owner, right? You meddle and you fix and you actually bodge. I'm not that I bodge accounts, really. I just want to caveat that. But you're right. And that then leads to your symptom of this like crushing tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% that is an issue. And it leads on to not doing the fundamentals. So the CEO, you know, that role of the business owner is to do these certain things. They've got the different hats on. They should be looking at the, you know, giving time to their team, looking at the business development, maybe whatever it is in their role. And they stop doing that to get back in to help the team rather than recruiting the right people, rather than managing the growth properly. And you can see it. You can tell. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. You can tell exactly when my business is busy, because if you look at my LinkedIn post history, in 9 months of the year where life is rosy, I post every day on LinkedIn and I'm all over it. And I haven't posted for like 5 weeks. And I know why, because I've been absolutely snowed under, right? Because we're in this growth curve. And that's the easiest thing for me to drop, right? And also, I sit there and I don't feel, guilt is probably not the right term, but I know my team are working hard as they can, right? And if all they see from me is me popping up on LinkedIn posting a stupid video, I feel like they're going to look, they're going to judge me. Like, what is that idiot? Like, look at me, I'm buried and Matt's there bloody posting silly videos. And I shy away from it because of that. And I think maybe I shouldn't. Maybe.
Well, but I know where you're at, but it's a slight gentle challenge for me. One quarter of the CEO role is advocacy, is inspiring people about your business. So that's what you're doing there. So just if you are feeling guilty there, then dial that back. However, I do understand when it is really tricky.
You see people, they disappear off of social media, and that's my trigger. Normally to ring, I say, you all right? You all right, John? Everything going okay? And you'll get, no, I'm absolutely snowed under, and I feel your pain. But, okay, I feel like we have covered a lot of ground in this half an hour. It's tired me out, to be honest, which is always a good sign. Is there anything we've not covered you want to get off your chest with this, Alan?
The only thing I would say is what I said right at the start. There is nothing in this phase that cannot be healed.
But make sure you have the right conversations. Talk to your coach, talk to a mentor, talk to someone else who's been there and done it, because they would have been through this phase and taken other businesses through this phase. And it does end. There is an end to it. You just need to put the right steps in place. Some of it is last episode's kind of leveling up tools. Some of it is the direct fixes we've talked about today. And then it's one of those, I find the periods of really intense growth are the ones I look back on really fondly, like about 6 months after, 6 months after they finished. And you're like, wow, do you remember when that was going on and we were doing this, that and the other? Mm-hmm. And it's all, it looks rosier in hindsight. It's a bit like having kids again, isn't it? Right? If you remember childbirth, you'd never have another kid, would you? I say that as a bloke. Like, it's very stressful childbirth as a bloke, isn't it, Alan?
Oh, it's terribly stressful. Absolutely.
If you remembered it vividly, every family would have one child and that would be that, wouldn't it? So there we go. Right, that's enough for me then. You've got everything off your chest you wanted to. So I feel like we'll let everyone go and we'll be back very soon with the final part of our series on growth, for the time being at least.
Our trilogy on growth, Matt. Our trilogy.
Excellent. Okay, well, look, everyone stay tuned for that. Hopefully you're liking what you're hearing. Keep shouting us out on social. We love a bit of feedback from listeners. Otherwise, we will see you soon. But for now, that's all from me and that's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.